Welcome to another episode of At the Table with Patrick Lencioni, where everything we talk about is related to changing the world of work so that more organizations can be more effective and less dysfunctional, and employees can be more fulfilled and less miserable. I'm Pat Lencioni, your host, joined by Cody Thompson, my co-host. Hello, Cody.
Hey, Pat. How's it going?
Good. How about yourself? What's your adjective for today?
I was going to say I'm feeling crisp because Matt got me a new microphone, and I'm hoping this one is a little crisper. It doesn't sound like I have a donut in my throat while we do this podcast. Hopefully it will help.
All right. Crisp is good. Tracy, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great today.
Very good. Matt, thumbs up. Thumbs up. All right. I'm excited too. We're doing this a little earlier than normal. I'm really interested in this topic. It's an important one to me. Cody, what is it?
We titled it Your Work Sponge.
That's right. What does that mean? And Cody, you hate sponges. It's like one of the things in life. Mint chip ice cream and sponges are the bane of your existence. If you had to go to prison, we would make you eat mint chip ice cream off of a sponge. And you would just
I'm feeling very exposed here. I'm sure I'll get a lot of flack for the mint chip thing. Every time I mention that, people, I get blowback, but I don't understand why you would brush your teeth and then eat chocolate. Doesn't make sense to me. And then sponges in my household, it's the most common fight Lindsay and I have, where if I see a sponge in our house, I will throw it away. And so we are wasting dollar bills every month where she buys sponges and then I see them and throw them away.
I think of you every time I do the dishes. So what does a sponge have to do with work? Well, here's the analogy. And that is, and a woman, her name is Mary Flo, a dear friend. She taught me years ago that she said, Pat, she's from Texas, when your kids learn about sex when they're really young, they're like a sponge, because kids learn things like a sponge. And what happens to a sponge when it gets full? Nothing else gets in. Yeah, once a sponge gets full, it's full. And she says, do you want the world to fill up your kids with information about sex, or do you want to fill up that sponge? And I was said, the next day I was like, kids, gather around. We're going to have a talk. And the point is, the first information we get around something often soaks in, and that then creates the context for everything else. And that is definitely true about work. Our first work experience fills in our sponge, and you look back and you realize it has a really amazing impact on how we view work later in life. And that could be whether it's your first job as a youth or a first job in the professional world. It makes an impression on us greater than our other jobs. And this is true, like, when you have a job, the first day on the job, you remember more than you remember the other day. Is there something about when you're fresh, things really make an impact? Does that make sense, Cody?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the sponge analogy is a good one.
All right. So you're not wigging out over there thinking about the sponge. It's just an analogy.
What I would say is it fills with bacteria. So whatever bacteria gets in there first. No, I'm just kidding. But I do like the analogy.
Right. The point of this is that we all need to think back about, because we don't know what's in our sponge. It doesn't happen intentionally. We're usually not aware of it. And we have good lessons that seep into that sponge and bad lessons. And if we're not aware of this, we need to really ask ourselves, what's in my sponge and what should I wring out of it and what should I keep? By the way, the reason I asked you if it made sense and not Tracy is because we talked more about this earlier. I know it makes sense to Tracy and Matt, but we're kind of, Cody, you come into these and we like a little fresher perspective on this. That's why I asked you. I didn't want people to say, why don't you ask Tracy?
It makes sense to me as well.
Well, thank you, Tracy. Very good. So what I want to do today is just talk about how influential this can be and provoke our listeners to be thinking about this as well. So we're going to share some of our stories about our first work experiences and what we learned from them that stuck with us till today, and some of the things that we had to overcome or let go of, or maybe we haven't let go of them yet. And I think that's really important. So I'll start with Tracy, and that is, Tracy, your first job, not your first like professional post-college job, but what was your first job when you were a kid?
I worked at a video store in the late 80s.
So in the time when Blockbuster was the king of video stores, and it was going to be around forever.
That's right. I worked at a small mom and pop video store, a local video store.
So what did you learn in that job that was good?
So yeah, I think, looking back, I would say the owner, my boss, she wanted a different kind of experience for customers. She really wanted high standards. She pushed us a lot, and it was a video store. So it kind of, it seems a little odd, but you know, super high standards. We had to get to work on time. We had to watch all the movies, know everything about all the product that was coming in.
You worked at a video store. You're getting paid not very much. Today, it would be a lot more because of things. And yet she said, I expect you to watch all the new movies. So when people ask you about them, you can give them a recommendation.
That's right. Yeah.
That is super crazy.
Super high standards. And that really stuck with me. I learned a work ethic there that I appreciate to this day.
And you know something, the funny thing is I've known Tracy for 25 years and I know your family and I know your background, your Myers-Briggs, your working genius, your childhood, all that stuff. But sometimes we discount that a lot of the reason why you have such high standards, Tracy, I realized today in prepping for this is that had a big impact on you.
Yeah, it did.
And if you had, if your first job was like, if you, maybe you'd worked at Blockbuster and they're like, hey kid, we don't expect, you know what I mean? We don't expect a lot of you. We have a zillion high school kids working here. Just do your job, sell the candy, sell the videos, tell them to be be kind and rewind. And that's all you have to do.
That's right. And I think that slacker mentality could have stuck with me. So to this day, I appreciate my manager. Her name was Rose. She was amazing. And she also took an interest in us as kids. And that was huge.
Yeah, that is amazing. My first job, because we're going to go to our other first jobs, was in a restaurant. And I was 13. My dad got us, and I knew it was a job, you know, it was like, because they were paying me and this was our first thing. I think I had to fill out a form or something, like a W-2 or I don't know what the heck it was. But I remember it very well because I worked my butt off. It was really hard work. It was kind of dirty because we were clearing out an old restaurant and opening a new one. And I learned humility and obedience and really hard work and serving the person I worked for. And so that was really good. And I think it stuck with me to this day. However, I did learn some bad things too. I was afraid of my boss. She was really, really kind of scary. And though I was had humility because I was doing hard work, there was some humiliation involved. I think there were probably things that had I been a little older, I'd have said, nah, I don't think I should probably have to do that. And I might have pushed back a little bit. So I look back at that and I think, man, I'm really glad that that person made me work hard and I had to do a good job and I had high standards, but there was some of it that I had to get over later on in life, which we'll talk about in a second. Matt, what was your first job? You can't, don't say the company name.
So I you remember earlier we were talking about the good and bad things. The good things that I learned were that just to show up at work every day, how to get up, get to work. It was my first 40-hour job. So I learned how to conduct myself in a professional setting, how to just get to work, do what I needed to do. And that definitely has stuck with me in a good way. On the other hand, I learned kind of how to manage other people's perceptions of me. I didn't have a lot of responsibilities. I was young. I was in college. It wasn't very intense. They didn't expect too much of me. And so I think I kind of learned how to make myself look busy. And also this is a function of how old I was at the time and where I was, you know, in my life. I definitely have a different responsibility as it pertains to work now.
You know what's interesting, Matt?
Yeah.
Matt, you said they didn't have much sense of mission, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like they weren't like, hey, so here's Tracy working at a video store and they're like, you have to know our product. You have to be representing us. This matters. And you were working at a professional company and yet you were like, you didn't get the sense that they expected much of you or that you needed to be that passionate about what they did. Am I right?
Yeah. They may have had that kind of clarity of mission, you know, at a higher level, but it definitely didn't work its way down to me in the way that we operated at the office.
Right. Got it. Cody, what was your first experience like? What'd you get from it?
Yeah, I think I actually would describe two different first jobs. One, because the very first job I had, my brother and I had, we actually cleaned our parents' office building. My mom and dad owned an office building and they paid us below minimum wage to go there and clean it every night. No, I'm kidding. They sometimes listen to this. Thanks, mom and dad, for the job. But what was interesting about that one was I really do feel like my dad was the person that taught us how to be a hard worker, really strive to be a good hard worker, because we would go to a basketball game. We were both on the basketball team. We were in high school. We would travel for 2 hours for a basketball game, get back on a Tuesday night at 10:30 p.m., and my dad and mom, who both went to our basketball game, would go home and sleep. And they'd say, you guys need to go clean before tomorrow morning because we had basketball practice the next morning. So we would literally get home from a late night basketball game tired. And it was, this expectation was still, you have a responsibility. You need to go get the office building clean and then go home and sleep. So I felt like looking back, that was something that my parents did really well, was taught us how to, the expectations of working hard in the family. And my first real job, the one my parents didn't give me, was actually with a company that I had talked about before on this podcast, the HVAC company that is here in Utah.
Right.
And it was a great company. I love the people who ran it. They still run it today. Great culture. But the actual details of the job, I was a heating and air conditioning installer. So I spent a lot of time in 130 degree attics and in crawl spaces, installing people's furnaces and ACs. And, you know, there are a ton of things I learned from that job. One of them was I still have a profound amount of respect for people who choose to do work like that. And it was challenging, intriguing, but I realized in that role that I actually loved the sales and strategy part of that job and not right. necessarily the install part. And so I realized when we would go in and consult to them about what we needed to do, that was wonderful. And then when it came to actually the install part, I thought, maybe this isn't for me. Maybe I should go get a degree and change the way that I interact with that.
Right. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. So you didn't really have any negative experiences from those. That's wonderful. Now let's talk about though, and I want people thinking about this because it's like, you are probably more shaped by some of these experiences than you realize. I'm going to tell a story. A couple of my buddies, their first jobs in high school, I remember, because back then high school jobs were like every spring we'd be like, what are you going to do this summer? And one of my friends cleaned pools for a living, which we thought was pretty cool. He's a listener to the podcast. And the one thing I remember about that job is he was cleaning this really rich guy's house and he was out in the backyard fishing leaves out of the pool. And the guy came out and started talking to him. He turned around and the guy was naked. Oh. So I'm pretty sure my buddy Will is going to have to figure out a way to squeeze that out of his sponge. my other dear friend, his first job was working for the county painting lines on the road, like that said, stop. You know, you go out and put a stencil down and you spray. And he would say, I'd go out, we'd paint the first one, we'd go sit under a tree from 10 o'clock to 1 o'clock in silence and eat lunch and listen to the radio. And then we'd paint a couple more in the afternoon and call it a day. And the thing about that is that can make you think, oh, this is a job. And you're going to, when that happens, you have to kind of shed those things and say, okay, this is something I want to get rid of. Now, those are pretty egregious examples of that. But now let's talk about our first professional experiences in work. And for me, I worked at a management consulting firm and we honestly averaged about 70 hours a week, maybe more. But here's the thing. We added up the numbers many times. 70 was 10 hours a day, 7 days a week. If I was not working on a Sunday and certainly on a Saturday, there was something wrong. You know, that's how the job was. So I learned really hard work ethic. To this day, I've never had to work harder. And people say, how come you work so hard? And I honestly think it goes back to that experience. Like, well, heck, it could not be harder than that. So this seems pretty easy. So that was one thing. I also learned humility and how to do anything that was asked of me. I also learned that managing my career was up to me, but I learned that the hard way. The bad parts is that I came out of that job thinking you can't trust your manager because nobody's really interested in you. And that's what taught me, well, you better be interested in your own career. Also, I was taught in that job to compete against my colleagues because that's how it worked. And since that was my first job, I thought, well, this is how work goes. You're supposed to see your colleagues as a threat to your success. And it took me a number of years to overcome that, because that's not how the world works. That's not how teams work. That's not how good companies work. But that's how I was set up at that firm. And so I look back at that and realize I needed to shed some of those things and I needed to take the good and keep those. So the work ethic and the sense of humility and really serving my manager was good, but the other parts were not as good.
When you talk about you had to shed that, you also said you had to squeeze the sponge out. How do you do that? Like, what specifically, what's your advice?
So we didn't talk about this beforehand, but I remember, so my first job was at this management consulting firm, and then my, which everybody's heard of. And then there's another company I worked at, a big company that everybody knows, that was the same way. Mm-hmm. So I went there and it was like, hey, listen, compete against your colleagues. Your manager isn't interested in you. Do all this yourself. And I only worked like 65 hours a week there. And people were like, gosh, this is a drag. And I would get outside before the sun went down some days. And I would go, this is a party. But it was my third job that hired me. And it was a competitor of the second software company. And mm-hmm. they knew what the culture was like. And the founder, I'll give him credit, Bob Epstein. Bob said to me when he hired me, we're going to hire you. You're a really good guy, but we're going to have to detox you because you have been taught that the culture of a work environment is very different than it is here. And he actively taught me. He said, you don't have to, nobody's going to put a knife in your back. Your manager cares about you and we're not here to dominate your life. And I remember he told me a story. He said, hey, listen, Pat, if we have to make our number at the end of the quarter and I need to go home to eat dinner with my family and we're going to miss our number, I would rather focus on my family than doing anything at all cost to make our number. And you're going to have to learn to do that too. And I was like, wow, this is great. So I had my first manager or leader who took an interest in teaching me that, and he helped me undo it. Thank you, Bob. Bob, how about you, Trace? What was your first professional post-video store experience like?
Well, I think I've shared this on the podcast before. I worked at a staffing company right out of college, and it was a pretty traumatic experience for me.
That I think, this one. Yeah.
I think it sort of rocked my world. So I went to training for a period of time. I was really excited about this opportunity. I went out the night before my first official day on the job, and I got myself a suit, a nice pantsuit, of all things. And I showed up to work the next day and they basically said, oh no, you can't wear pants here. You have to wear a skirt and pantyhose. And that evening I promptly put in my letter of resignation. So that was a pretty traumatic work experience for me that sat with me for a long time.
I didn't know you were worked in the typing pool in 1950s in New York City. That is very, you seem so much younger than that.
Seriously, can you believe that? This was in the early 90s.
In the San Francisco Bay Area, which is not very formal.
That's right.
Wow. That's wild. That's right. I was thinking you were going to tell us about the other job you had.
Oh, I worked for a paper company. Is that the one you were talking about?
Tracy, I didn't know until last night that you told me that it was a paper company because... So you basically worked for Dunder Mifflin.
I worked for Dunder Mifflin and I commuted to work with my boss.
Wow.
And it was probably an hour and a half commute.
So basically the rest of us get in the car and we listen to the radio. We blow a fart if we have to. Well, that's me and Cody and Matt. But you had to be on as soon as you got in the car.
I did.
That would suck.
It did suck. It was, I think I only worked for her for about 8 months. It was a temporary position, but I went around and traveled with her as her assistant, as a recruiter, essentially. So we went around to local colleges and recruited people for this paper company.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So other than that it kind of sucked that you had to commute with your boss, what did you learn, good or bad, from that?
I think I also learned hard work at that particular job. It was pretty stressful. Right out of college, it was, so yeah, I think discipline and hard work, and never to commute with your boss.
There you go. How about you, Cody? What'd you learn from your first professional job?
Pretty similar to Tracy. I showed up in a pantsuit and they sent me away. No, I'm teasing. I think probably the first like more professional office that I was in was actually at a nonprofit, like sort of a national nonprofit. And as I look back at that, I was in the fundraising part of that company. As I look back, I think what I learned honestly was that was my first real experience with politics and silos. And I realized that people were not open to sharing the honest truth with each other very often. I saw people around me getting promoted and knew that they, one, weren't really liking their job or trying that hard, but no one really wanted to call other people out on their behaviors that were pretty obvious to other members of the team. And so I think that was sort of the first experience I had, because you have to keep in mind, I came from an HVAC company where everyone would call everyone out in profane language if they needed to into a office environment that was all about kindness and niceness. And so sort of learning this corporate language that didn't really resonate with me that well, where I'm sort of naturally prone to and had been in that sponge experience, sort of absorbed the idea that we should talk very openly with one another about each other's performances, and watch people in that company get promoted for the wrong reasons or get raises for the wrong reasons. And I hadn't thought about that that way until right now when you guys are asking me that. But that wasn't one of the good things I learned there. One of the very few good experiences I had there, I had one really good manager out of three there. And what I realized in that job was how important it was that your manager, the leader of a team, takes a vested interest in you as a person and your success in the role. And with a quick juxtapositioning of three different managers, it was pretty obvious to watch one really excel at her job in leading the team and the other sort of flounder, and really the teamwork and the sort of even the passion around our mission floundered under their leadership and thrived under the one that was good at it.
Right. Very good. So the reason, and we're not going to ask Matt because his first experience after college was here. So he can't tell us the bad things.
Well, actually, I was thinking as you guys were just talking, I want to amend what I learned and then kind of relate it to what I did in between that job and when I worked here. I think a better way to say what I learned out of my first job was that managing my perception, how other people were perceiving me at work, the quality and amount of the work I was doing was more important than the actual work I was doing.
Ah.
And what I was thinking about was, I don't think I unlearned that until I got here. I worked for a tech startup before I graduated college. And I think I still kind of had that idea in my head that it was more important to manage people's perceptions of what I was doing than actually, you know, it was more important than the work I was actually doing. I think it wasn't too long after I started here that I had to really quickly unlearn that, because Cody was my primary manager and he's a jerk.
I was kind of worried when you started talking. I was like, oh boy, here we go.
You know, that's so interesting though, Matt.
That doesn't fly. That doesn't fly here. There's no way to make myself look busy if I'm not. Mm-hmm.
And that's interesting because we had a great conversation in the office yesterday, and now that makes sense that you actually carried that from your first two jobs. And that's why today you have no interest in showing what you're doing, like to try to, you know, impress us. And mm-hmm. In fact, you will not do that, which is great. Mm-hmm. But that's fascinating.
It did take me a while. When you guys were talking, I realized it did take me a while to kind of unlearn that. And I had never thought about that before, but I carried that through my second job. And then thanks, Cody, for beating that out of me pretty quick.
Yeah. Beating is a strong word, but yeah, I'm hope I helped. But Pat, it actually reminds me, I loved one story you told about one of your first couple of jobs where people in that job were trying to manage how people perceived how late they'd work, where people would leave their suit jackets on their desk chairs and just make it seem like they were in the bathroom in the evenings or that they had already gotten there in the morning. Or they would, and these were like, when you told me these, I was like, man, people are so creative in ways to get out of work that they're inventing some really intense things. The other thing that you had told me they do is people would, you know, you can work offline on your email and then turn it on at a certain time. So they would like schedule emails to go out throughout the evening. Like,
yeah,
boy, that person's up till 1 a.m. working. But they were so much more concerned about the perception that they were working hard than the reality that they were working hard. That is just incredible to think of, that people are learning that in the jobs that they get, the first experiences.
Well, you know, that's the funny thing about that job that I had. It was the same job where I was working 70 hours a week on average. And I remember going into the bathroom, and ladies that are listening to this, you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes I would take the sports page in there, you know. I mean, I was working 70 hours a week, and I thought, I'm going to take 15 minutes to catch up on the 49ers, you know. And I'd go in the bathroom. I think they had the light timer set to about 5 minutes. And so I'd be in the restroom. Maybe Matt will edit this out. Probably not. But I'd be in the restroom, and the lights would go off. And I thought, oh no, one of the partners is going to walk in here. The lights are going to go on. He's going to see me. There's these shoes underneath the stall. They're going to catch me and they're going to decide I'm not working hard enough. Well, screw that. I was working 70 hours a week on average, and I was afraid that they were going to misperceive me as a slacker. So I've had to kind of unlearn that one. So that's a funny memory or a weird one. You know, but this is the reason why we're doing this podcast. Everybody should stop and ask themselves, man, are there good things I've learned that I didn't even attribute to that first job experience I had? And are there things I'm carrying forward? Because that's how work got established in my sponge-like brain, and I need to be intentional about undoing that. The other thing I want people listening to this to do is to think about when you hire a person. Imagine that you're giving a person their first job. Be aware of the fact that everything you do in your organization for them in their first job is going to create their impression of what work is like. Mm-hmm. So be intentional about that. And when something happens that you don't think should be the way they think about work, help them unlearn that fast. Because the earlier you squeeze something out of the sponge, the easier it is to do that.
What a like charge to think of, like when we talk about, oh, hey, teachers should really, really care about their role because they're shaping the future of America. In some ways, you could argue that the leaders of companies that are hiring people out of college or out of high school should feel that same burden of like, imagine the woman who ran the video store that Tracy was a part of. The way that she interacted with Tracy at the video store was directly correlated to her success in her career and the impact that she's been able to have on so many people that we serve as an organization. So I do think that there is sort of a little bit of a stigma of like, well, these are just college kids or these are their first jobs. And there's so many people that think you have to just pay your dues in your first job that like, oh, it should be miserable and you shouldn't get a lot of attention and care. But it's pretty obvious after this conversation that those that took that as a sincere responsibility created a work ethic that was really great and shouldn't be squeezed out of those sponges.
Yeah. You know, I just thought of something. One of my sons had his first job this summer and he worked in a hotel. And the people who run the hotel might listen to this. I don't know. They're wonderful people. They're friends. But one of the things that was hard, he learned how to get to work on time and people were generally very kind to him there, the people that he worked for. And so that was really good. And he felt good about himself. And so thank you. They did a great job. But on the other hand, he was frequently bored. He didn't have a lot to do. And I remember he said that after the first few days, I said, hey, go to your manager and say, hey, is there anything else I can do? He goes, I did that, Dad. And the guy said, nope, just stand there. And the hardest part of his job, and I suppose sometimes it's good to learn this too, is that sometimes you're bored. But I said, hey, you should go to your manager and say, hey, I could go to all the rooms in the hotel and put something on the door. What else could I do to make the guests stay even better? He goes, nope, I don't think they were interested in that. And so he learned that sometimes people don't care as much as they could and that there was more that he could have done. So he's going to unlearn that.
I think you might need to clarify that he was a bellhop. So just stand there is a decently reasonable request. It wasn't.
Oh, yes. He was like, he was a waiter. Just stand there. Good clarification, Matt. Yeah, he was the bellman, the bell stand, whatever else, to help people with their bags. But there would literally be 3 hours that would go by sometimes where nobody arrived. You know, certain times of the day, people don't show up. And so I was thinking like, find some cool new way to make that hotel even better. But anyway, he was like, nope, I just stood there. Sometimes we'll be standing, we were in the airport this week and he was standing there and his posture looked a certain way. His knees were kind of locked. He goes, Dad, look. And I said, what? And he goes, this is how I learned to stand at the hotel. Anyway. All right. I hope this was useful and fun for people. Think back about that job. Think about yourself as a manager. And we love talking to you and listening to you. And so thanks for listening to At the Table. God bless.